Show on demand right here.
What's going down is your homie Dope Easy, the Southeast Beast, and make sure you tune in to the Brad Gilmore Show.
On demand.
On demand.
On demand.
And now, here's your host, Brad Gilmore. Gilmore.
Welcome to a very special WrestleMania edition.
Yes.
And simulcast of TP the Topolsky Podcast.
And the Brad Gilmore Show on demand.
I like mine better.
You know, I like personally. Mine better. It's a little early for me. My on demand wasn't on point today.
It's a little early for you.
Yeah, it's early.
You want to give the listeners the backstory as to why we... Are recording so early?
Well, you know, I'll tell you why. Because here's the thing. I'm when we're out there for reality wrestling, we're calling the action ringside, right?
Yeah.
You're the guy who's been doing it for years. You've been doing the commentary, right?
That's true.
I'm still like 10 months in the game, right? So I follow your lead.
Yeah.
But when it comes to those podcast game, I've been doing it for 5 years. You've been doing it for like 5 weeks.
Yeah.
That's being kind. And you you are still making some rookie mistakes. And let's say I actually felt so good. We actually did this podcast before last night, and it was like the best one. It was so good, back and forth.
It was definitely the best podcast you've ever done.
By a long shot. Yeah. By a long shot. And then I'm like, man, that was good. I'm going to get home, edit it, upload it tonight, put my little jingle in it, little drop. And then you go over the computer, and you're like, ah. And Matt Topolsky forgot to plug the computer in.
He did.
And it died.
He did.
We don't know when it died. It saved none of the audio. It was terrible, but it was our WrestleMania spectacular.
It was spectacular. You know,
they're real, and they're spectacular.
Yeah, and you know, the thing is, I thought about this because in the middle of doing the podcast, you had gotten a phone call. I should have at least saved that portion of it at that point, but I was like, now let it run. I'll edit it later.
Yeah.
You know what? This was my – I take responsibility – for throwing this interception. And I'm going to learn from it,
and I
won't do it again. Thanks to everybody for listening. Special edition of the WrestleMania podcast, the Showcase the Immortals, is this Sunday, Brad.
Here we are. We're days away. I'm counting down. I'm ready. WrestleMania Today, the show that Booker's hosting, starts today on the WWE Network as we're recording this. It'll be running all the way up until WrestleMania. My excitement level, like I said yesterday, is about an 8.5. But who knows? It might reach to the 10 level by the time WrestleMania 31 goes live on the WWE Network.
Well, we're going to run down the entire card for our listeners and get you hyped up as best we can for WrestleMania 31. Got to take your pulse on this, though, first, Brad. How excited are you on a scale of 1 to 10?
Well, I just said 8.5.
8.5?
But you know what's incredible is last night, this is the one benefit that happened out of screwing up last night's podcast, is I was watching Jimmy Kimmel last night, and John Cena was a guest promoting WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he was talking about the match with Rusev, and John Cena cut, like, one of the funniest pro-America promos ever on Jimmy Kimmel, and it made me even more excited for WrestleMania, believe it or not, because John Cena was just really on last night. So I mean, I said 8.5, I might be at a 9 right now.
Yeah.
In excitement. What about you?
Well, you know what, I was going to agree with that 8.5, but I got to tell you something. You know, when we talked about this yesterday, which no one will hear, you said WrestleMania 7 was probably one of your favorites.
Yes, I did.
And I was watching it earlier this morning and watched that finish between Hulk and Sergeant Slaughter. And just when he tears that Iraqi flag and he's got the blood flowing down his face and he's hulking up and wins the title. You know what? I hope we see something similar to that and you know, and seen his own special way.
Yeah.
So I'm a lot more hyped for that match now, just going back and watching Hogan at WrestleMania 7.
It's all about America.
It really is.
And like I said, you know, I mean, WrestleMania 7, one of my favorites. I mean, two of my favorite WrestleManias are WrestleMania 7 and WrestleMania 2000, which aren't like the most highly praised WrestleManias, but like they're nostalgic for me. And, you know, I've watched WrestleMania live every year since WrestleMania 20, where John Cena won the United States Championship for the first time. I think it's going to happen again, but we'll get to those predictions.
We will. And you know, one thing that this WrestleMania and WrestleMania 2000 have in common is singles matches are in short supply. So let's get started with the Fatal 4-Way Tag Team Championship match, Tyson Kidd and Cesaro, The New Day, Los Matadores, and The Usos. What do you think about this match?
Well, here's the thing. I was never a huge Antonio Cesaro fan, right?
Because he's Swiss?
Because he's Swiss. He didn't connect with me at all. I didn't get it. But I did like, you know, Cesaro now teaming with Tyson Kidd. It's bringing out a little more personality and charisma between the two of them. They work well together. Tyson Kidd's on a roll. I think he's so funny. We talked about it with the whole thing on Raw this past Monday with Burger King and the chicken fries and Natty. And I mean, he's just them together is probably they're probably my favorite tag team right now in wrestling.
By the way, how good did Natty look?
Oh, she looked
on Monday night.
She looked incredible.
Good God!
I mean, she always looks incredible.
But I mean, she is really stepping into another zone here.
She's reaching a new level.
Yeah,
new levels are being reached.
Yeah,
and as much as I like you know, the New Day and the Usos will be the forever babyface tag team for the rest of their career. You know, the Usos are so loved by all the children, so they might want to do what they did last year and have the Usos go over in a big celebration, but. Thinking about it, I wouldn't want to see a championship change hands on the pre-show.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I have to agree with you. I think Tyson Kidd and Cesaro are going to hang on to the tag team championships in this one. You know, it's interesting. I have in front of me the WrestleMania 31 betting odds, as if there are people at there are people out there actually betting on this. But, you know.
It's athletic competition.
It's athletic competition.
Yeah.
That's not predetermined.
No, I don't know what you're talking about.
Tyson Kidd and Cesaro, 7-4 odds to win this thing. So the universe agrees with Brad Gilmore and I, Tyson Kidd and Cesaro.
The universe typically agrees with you and I.
Well, but typically we don't agree with each other.
Yeah, and typically the universe tells you should plug in your laptop before you're doing a podcast.
Well, we've talked about that long enough. We're moving right along to the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal. By the way, let us know what you think. You can hit me up at Twitter, at Matt Topolsky on Twitter.
Or me, at Brad Gilmore. Send the hate tweets our way.
Yeah, send them to me. I'm used to them.
You get plenty.
I do indeed. So WrestleMania 31 will feature the second annual Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal.
Is it the second annual or is it the first annual?
Well, there was one last year.
Yeah, that was the first one. So then this year's first anniversary.
This would be the second annual.
Oh, yeah, you're right. But it's not. But it's the first anniversary of the Battle Royal.
What the hell are you saying?
It's the first anniversary of the Battle Royal, but it's the second annual one.
Well, it would be like saying, well, this is your first birthday, but really it's, you know, you've been on the earth longer.
That's what I'm saying. My first birthday was the day I was born,
right,
but the
precisely.
First anniversary of my birthday was when I was a year old.
Okay.
It's like when they did WrestleMania here in Houston, right? WrestleMania 25th anniversary.
Yeah.
It was the 24th anniversary, but it was the 25th WrestleMania.
This is the second annual Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal, and some names have been confirmed, some we will speculate on. I'm going to throw out a few. Damian Mizdow, Ryback, Mark Henry, The Big Show, Curtis Axel, Eric Rowan, Kane, The Miz, Titus O'Neil, Fandango, Goldust, Heath Slater, Jack Swagger, Sin Cara, Zack Ryder, Adam Rose, and speculation that Sheamus will be in the Battle Royal as well. What do you think about this?
There's a lot I got to say about this. First of all, it's kind of a shame that Goldust is in this match. I really wanted to see him and Stardust go head-to-head. They had that match at Fastlane. It was kind of so-so. It was a weird ending.
Yeah.
We still don't know if that was like a botched ending or whatever. But he's in the match no less. Also, Sheamus. If Sheamus is in this match, he is my hands-on, hands-down favorite to win this thing because they've had these promo packages for weeks and weeks and weeks, building Sheamus up, reminding you he used to be the King of the Ring. He was a Royal Rumble winner. He's been a world heavyweight champion, a WWE champion. He beat John Cena, Triple H. You know what I mean? He's beaten everybody, and they're really building him up. So if he comes back, he has to win. You can't build this guy up in promo packages and then, boom, he kill his whole buzz coming into WrestleMania.
But if he comes back, I mean, does he come back as a heel? I mean, is that even a possibility wins the Battle Royal?
No, he can't come. He won't come back as a heel because, one, no matter what, like, you could be the most vicious heel ever, but once you leave for 6 months on injury, right when you come back, you're the biggest babyface of all time, unless you make that huge, actually, I said yesterday the only way he could be heel is if he interrupted the Intercontinental Championship match and cost Daniel Bryan the title. He could be a heel if he eliminated Damian Mizdow last to win the Battle Royal.
He could be.
Because right now, Damian Mizdow is – did you hear the pop that he got Monday night in L.A.? Miz came out, nothing. Damian Mizdow, the whole crowd's on their feet. Damian Mizdow is my pick to win it if Sheamus is not in the Battle Royal. If he is, Sheamus, hands down, will be your winner of the second annual but the first anniversary of the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal.
Nobody deserves it more, in my opinion, that's in this than Mizdow, simply from the fact that for the last 12 months he has just every single gimmick and character that he has been saddled with, he has hit a home run with.
He really has.
You know?
That guy's been amazing.
So maybe this will be his payoff, but I hate to do this, but I have to agree with you again. I'm going to go with Mizdow as well, but if Sheamus does return, Sheamus wins the Memorial Battle Royal.
Let me ask you something, though. Yeah. Battle Royals, right? I mean, Royal Rumble is one of my favorite matches, but a Battle Royal in general, they're kind of hard to watch. You know what I mean? Like, there's just so much going on. There's guys everywhere. It's hard to focus. From a commentator's even perspective, they must be a pain. I've never called a Battle Royal, but they must be a pain to call.
No, but you've called an Invitational, which we thought was a Battle Royal. At least I did.
But that was hard, too.
Yeah.
A Five Diamonds Challenge. Yeah. It was very difficult to call, because there's so much stuff going around. But how does one focus? Do you like Battle Royals? Do you like watching them?
Gosh, it depends. Because I can't sit here and say no, I don't, because there have been memorable Royal Rumbles where
there's been memorable Royal Rumbles
where I really have
enjoyed.
Can you think
of a Battle Royal where they all start in the ring at the same time? The one that comes to mind.
No, I don't like that.
The only other Battle Royal. There's been a few Battle Royals at WrestleMania, but one that comes to mind is I think it was WrestleMania 15. They had the tag team Battle Royal. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Where LOD came out as LOD 2000.
Yeah.
And one was Sonny. She looks so good. Ugh. So good at WrestleMania 15. But anyway.
Go back and watch that on the network.
Oh, yeah. Hey, whoa. Yeah. Make sure your keyboard is in a safe yet reachable distance.
Well.
But Battle Royals in general aren't my favorite things to watch, unless it's the Royal Rumble. That's all I wanted to say.
Yeah. Well, no, I would agree. I mean, I'm not a fan of all the guys being in the ring at once.
Yeah.
From kayfabe standpoint alone, how the hell are you going to stand one guy next to 10 other people that he doesn't like for the entire period of time until you say go, and then they just beat the hell out of him.
And let me ask you this. Like, this doesn't make any sense. Does anyone ever expect the biggest man in the Royal Rumble to win?
No.
Like now. I mean, back in the day, Andre the Giant won every Battle Royal. But like now, it's
Well, not if one's the Hogan. Well, again, that's Royal Rumble.
So Royal Rumble.
Yeah,
Royal Rumble, Battle Royal, different thing.
Getting confused.
But now, like, everyone's like, well, you got to team up. You got to get the big man out first, and da-da-da-da-da. And it's like, how are you going to get
Big
Show
over?
By
the way that people are being eliminated from Battle Royals, like, could you imagine, like, a bouncer trying to remove someone from a bar like that? Where it's like, well, come on, I need another help with another leg. Like, just, we're going to slowly throw him out of the door. Like,
and you can always tell when someone doesn't want to throw them out because, like, they'll, like, put them over the rope, but they'll be holding them, like, in a certain position.
Oh, gosh.
Battle Royals.
So, universally, we agree that Damian Mizdow will win this thing.
Is he the Vegas odds on favorite?
He is the Vegas odds on favorite. 5-4 odds. Sheamus has 7-4. So Mizdow the favorite, Sheamus right behind. But that is if Sheamus is going to be involved in this. I could be wrong, but I don't think Sheamus has been announced for this thing.
He hasn't been announced.
Okay.
As of yet. But like I said, if he is in the Battle Royal, he's winning.
Moving on to a match that I personally am very much looking forward to. The Viper.
Oh,
the red hot WWE superstar right now. No one has more momentum than Randy Orton facing the future of the WWE, Mr. Money in the Bank, Seth Rollins. Your thoughts?
Well, first off, I'm a huge Randy Orton fan. I have been for a long time. I know you're like a new believer.
I am.
You're a new believer in Orton. You didn't like Orton this time last year, did you?
I thought his character was stale, but I got to tell you, man, this has been whew. Now Vines helped a lot.
Vines, RKO Vines, he is the most over guy because of social media.
But now I pop when Orton comes out. I'm excited to see Randy Orton.
I'm super excited to see Randy Orton. And you know what I was thinking about it is like Randy Orton came in the WWE in 2002, right?
Yeah.
By 2004, at the age of 24, he won the World Heavyweight Championship at SummerSlam, right? And you think, where can someone go from there, you know? And then he had all these, you know, he's in Evolution, then he was Leader of Legacy. He did the whole summer of punting people in the head. He had Triple H. I mean, he's had memorable feuds. But I think right now, Randy Orton might be the hottest he's ever been in WWE. And I think he's approaching another level right now. I don't think Randy Orton has peaked yet as a performer. I really don't. He might have been around since 2002. He has not yet peaked as a performer. Randy Orton is reaching the upper, another echelon, echelon.
And you said it. I mean, when he got his start, he was one of the youngest stars in the company.
Yeah.
And
still the youngest heavyweight champion of all time.
He has, you got to believe he's got another 10 years.
Oh, yeah. Easily.
Easily. Based on what we've seen through the course of our lifetime watching wrestling. I mean, we have Sting who's performing on Sunday, and he's in his 50s.
56, late 50s.
So I mean, this is there's a lot left to be seen from Randy Orton. I'm excited to see it. I would agree with you. He is white hot right now. Who do you got in this match?
Well, here's the thing. As much as I love Randy Orton, right now, when I'm looking at this match and I'm thinking of it from if I had the pencil, quote unquote, right? If I were making the decisions, which I am not. I know there's a big rumor out there that I'm writing WrestleMania. I'm booking it. I'm not. Don't worry. Not yet. But no, I would put Seth Rollins as the winner of this match. Now, here's the thing. Randy Orton has been killing Seth Rollins on television for the past few weeks. You know, the build was a little strange. How he started off as like buddy-buddy. But then I was like, well, he is the Viper.
He's the Viper.
He's the snake in the grass. You know, he's going to come up and bite you. But Seth Rollins is the future of the WWE. He's the best heel in the company right now because Brock Lesnar is not a heel. So Seth Rollins is the biggest heel in the company, right up there with Rusev. He's Mr. Money in the Bank. So my eyes, if Seth Rollins, if we're supposed to take him as a legitimate challenger for the heavyweight championship, do you think if he loses to Randy Orton at WrestleMania 31 that he has the chutzpah, to use a Jewish term? Do you think he has the ability, the believability of being the heavyweight champion later in the night if he were to cash in or something? You know, he has to win this match for us as the fans to believe him as the heavyweight champion.
See, that's where I kind of disagree. I don't think he has to win this match in order for him to be believable as a heavyweight champion, because he will be a heel champion. So he's booked as a chicken shit champion. I mean, running around with the briefcase right now. I mean,
yeah.
He runs from every fight. He has J&J security and the authority constantly as his insurance policy. It's not about whether or not he's capable in the ring. It's about the intelligence that he has. It's about him using his mind to get what he wants. And he's constantly playing games with everybody. Now, that could lead to him somehow figuring out a way to get over on Orton. Certainly, I don't believe if that were to happen, it would be clean.
Yeah.
But this kind of...
Why not, though? Why not give him a clean win over Randy Orton? I mean, imagine what that would do for his career at this point.
But what does that do to Orton?
Orton's not going to get hurt by a loss at WrestleMania to Seth Rollins. He can get his comeuppance next month at Extreme Rules. But right now, the way it sits for me is if you are Seth Rollins and you win that title, I mean, you win the match at WrestleMania, that puts you on the heavyweight championship. I mean, he's already had a match for the title, but I'm saying that puts you in that main event scene automatically. Randy Orton will always be there. Randy Orton will always be a main event. He's like Hogan. If Hogan loses, he's still Hulk Hogan.
Right.
You know
but
what I mean?
As you said, though, earlier, now Randy Orton is entering another
level.
Another level. And a loss here may pull him back down. I don't know. That remains to be seen. We'll have to see what happens. One thing I wanted to ask you about, though, in regards to all this, because you said earlier that Brock Lesnar is not a heel anymore, and I would tend to agree with that. Do you think because of the reality era now in full swing, do you think we're kind of getting away from heels and faces again, and we're kind of getting back to that more Attitude Era style of cheer for whoever you wish to cheer for?
We are approaching that more because obviously, you know, there are guys like Damian Mizdow for the longest wasn't supposed to be a fan favorite, but he won them over. So they kind of turned him into that. You know, they turned him into a fan favorite.
Right.
But, you know, he's still aligned with The Miz. He's still taking directions from The Miz. So, you know, he's not the greatest guy if you think about it. But, you know, we're rooting for him. We've turned him as an audience. And I think Brock Lesnar.
Because he's who?
Brock Lesnar defeated the streak by off. He ended one of the most beloved characters in the WWE history's longest streak of WrestleMania wins. I was the biggest Undertaker fan. I used to say if the Undertaker loses at WrestleMania, I never want to watch wrestling again. I used to say that. And he beat him. And he beat John Cena, which is all the kids' favorite guy, you know, whatever. And he still...
Not just beat John Cena.
He destroyed him.
Beat the hell out of John Cena.
As Paul Heyman puts,
more than once.
He gave him a prison beating.
Yeah.
And he did. And still, he is cheered when he comes in the building. And so right now, yeah, with the reality era how it is, Brock Lesnar said he didn't re-sign to the UFC for many reasons. But one, he wanted to re-sign to WWE because he thought it was right for the fans. He said that in the ESPN interview. He thought it was right for the fans. Are you telling me this man is not going to get a hero's welcome come WrestleMania?
Oh, man.
He's doing it for the
it's
fans.
It's going to create a saucy atmosphere on
Sunday
night.
We'll get more Brock Lesnar because I read an article last night. But, yeah, I think right now we're in an era where people are rooting for who they want to root for, and there's not really defined heels and faces. Because when you think about it, Randy Orton, if you think about classic actions of babyface heel, he's a heel too. He was lying. He was conniving. And then he beat up this guy unmercifully. On Monday Night Raw. I mean, that's a heel, right? But the fans are so behind him.
Yeah. Why do you think that is?
Because he's awesome. it's just like awesome.
But I mean, is that an indication of this is what the majority of the fans want? We want a legitimate badass as champion?
Yeah.
Okay.
Brock. We're cheering for Brock. We're cheering for Orton. We like these guys who are legitimate badasses.
All guys from the Attitude Era, in a way. Kind of ruthless aggression, Attitude Era-ish.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. No, yeah. Definitely. Yeah.
Yeah. We're going to get back into Brock Lesnar here in a minute because, obviously, main event.
I do want to say this, though, about that Randy Orton-Seth Rollins match. It does have the potential to be the best wrestling match on the entire card.
I would agree with that.
Yeah.
I think those two are going to tell an incredible story. Seth Rollins is absolutely incredible.
Yeah, he might be
on the mic, in the ring, his work, everything. Seth Rollins, he's a total package. You disagree?
Well, I mean, he's no Lex Luger.
He's no Lex Luger.
No, I mean, he is. I'm not a huge fan of his promos.
Lex Luger.
Well, I want to talk about Lex Luger in a second, actually. Yeah. It's something very prevalent to this WrestleMania.
Okay.
But Seth Rollins, I'm not a huge fan of his promos. I thought the whole thing he did with Jon Stewart in that Daily Show segment was awesome. It was perfect.
Yeah.
But in the ring, this guy does incredible things. That triple threat match at the Royal Rumble is the greatest triple threat match of all time, in my opinion.
Yeah.
I mean, he's pulling out moves like that Phoenix Splash at the top row. I've never even seen that before until he did it.
Yeah,
he's incredible in the ring.
I mean, he's grown on me in the last 12 months. He really has. He's become one of my favorite superstars on the roster. We got to move on to the tag team match between the Bella Twins and AJ Lee and Paige, something that I know, I see your
Paige.
Your eyes lighting up over there.
Yes.
Paige, huh?
Yeah.
What do you think?
Okay, well, you know, I yesterday I actually went with the Bella Twins, and I said that because right now the Bella Twins, Nikki Bella is on fire, in my opinion, right now. Multiple ways, of course.
Yes.
But she's
especially when she wears yellow.
Oh, man.
Good God.
Whoa, that yellow, was that a fast lane? Where was that? Because when she wore that yellow.
I don't know, but it's just like a giant caution sign of sex. You know? It's like, hey, slow down because there's something you need to look at right now.
she's a gorgeous woman. They all are. But right now, I was thinking about it. I'm a fan of this match, and I said it yesterday. You asked me how much time do they think they're going to give. I said 8 to 12 minutes, and I still believe that they might even get longer than that. They might get 15 because with the whole Give Divas a Chance thing, they've been giving the women longer on Raw. And right now, these are the – I mean, especially on the main roster, These are the four best workers out of the women on the main roster. Mm-hmm. Now, NXT, that's a whole different story. But the Bellas, AJ, and Paige are the four best women wrestlers on the main roster right now. And I think they're going to go out there. They're going to have a great match. They're going to tear the house down. I really, truly believe that. I'm a huge fan of the Divas. I like watching the Divas division. My girlfriend and I sometimes watch Total Divas together. She wrote me into that.
How sweet.
It's very sweet. Very sweet. Well, you know, it's because she loves the Kardashians. I love wrestling. Yeah. It's kind of a merger of the two. Well, it is a merger of the two, yes. Essentially. So it's something we can watch together.
Well, you know what they say. Couples that watch sports entertainment together stay together.
So, oh, yeah. That's a truism. That's a truism. It's actually also they said if you're a wrestler, you'll have a wife forever.
Yeah.
Have you ever heard that one?
I just heard it for the first time. So you are changing your prediction on this.
Yes, I went Bella Twins yesterday, but I'm thinking about it. Well, how the go-home episode of Raw went, where there's the dissension between AJ and Paige. The Bellas were playing their mind games. And I already think that a lot of quote-unquote heels might be going over at this WrestleMania anyway. So I think you gotta go with Paige and AJ.
Gotcha. And in the spirit of give Divas a chance, how long do you think this match goes?
Like I said, I think it can go 8 to 12, maybe as long as 13 to 14 minutes. But definitely at the minimum, bare minimum, 8 minutes. At the bare minimum.
It will be fascinating to see where this match is placed on the card, if you believe that will be the length of time of the match.
Well, I mean, you got to think of where you want to put it. I mean, normally the women go second to last at WrestleMania, you know, as the breather, as people like to put it, the buffer match between
main
events.
But this may be anything but a breather.
No, yeah.
I mean, these four girls have been tearing the house down for the last
month. I said, I mean, I'm a fan of the Divas division. And not just, you know, obviously I'm a fan of these gorgeous women and how they look, but I'm also a fan. They're actually good wrestlers. The Bella Twins have come so far as professional wrestlers in the past year and a half. I mean, they've come extremely far. And I'm sure that has to do with dating the top two wrestlers maybe in the world right now, and John Cena and being married to Daniel Bryan. But, yeah, I'm excited for the match. Who are you going with?
I have to, once again, unfortunately, agree with you. I got to go with AJ and Paige.
Have we disagreed yet? Oh, yeah, we disagreed on Randy Orton, Seth Rollins.
We did disagree on Randy Orton, Seth Rollins. But on this matchup here in particular, I agree with you. I think it will go 8 minutes tops. But
Minimum of 8 minutes, so yes, we'll see.
So we'll see.
We'll have to do a stopwatch.
But AJ Lee and Paige are the favorites to go over in this one.
What are the odds on that one?
They have 2-7 odds, Bella Twins 9-4 odds. So.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's close. But here we go. This is what sports entertainment is all about. This next match right here. This is the classic hero versus villain. New Cold War is upon us. John Cena versus Rusev. Maybe Vladimir Putin will be sitting front row right next to Donald Trump. You know, who knows?
Incredible.
Who knows what we will see in this one. Cena versus Rusev. Do you see any scenario at all in which John Cena will actually lose this match? Because
no.
To quote Vince McMahon, I don't think there's a chance in hell.
I don't think there's a chance in hell he loses this match. I don't see it happening. I mean, because look, and I said this yesterday, if Rusev wins, who's left for him to wrestle? He's got to go for Brock. He's got to wrestle Brock or Orton.
Right.
You know, but by my Mania predictions, Orton's going to lose against Rollins. So who's Rusev going to, you know, face next? It's not going to be he's not going to beat John Cena. I mean, I'm trying to think of a scenario, but he's not. I mean, you build this guy up for a year. He hates America. He always bashes America. Like I said, John Cena cut a promo for America on network television last night. There's no chance in hell Rusev walks out the United States champion, and I'm glad to see it. I want to see him lose for multiple reasons. One, from a storyline perspective, I want his ass taken out of here, and two, I think if John Cena holds the United States championship, that only does good for the United States championship at this point.
John Cena's first United States championship victory was at WrestleMania 20. And
Over
the Big Show, and it was a coming of age, if you will. It really started what became over 10 years of absolute dominance on the part of John Cena, yeah. Made him the man.
WrestleMania 20, he opened the whole show. WrestleMania 21, he won the world title in the main event.
So perhaps this is John Cena coming full circle.
Yeah.
You know,
he doesn't need the heavyweight championship at this point.
No,
I mean that's why he hasn't been in the main event of WrestleMania last year and this year. I mean, like I said, Hulk Hogan will always be Hulk Hogan, no matter what.
And now John Cena will always be
John Cena. He's at that level. I mean, he's at Hogan level. And honestly, his run's been longer than Hulk Hogan, longer than Austin, longer than The Rock. I mean, John Cena might go down as the biggest star in the history of WWE.
I mean, there's an argument that can be made for that.
And for guys like Rusev to be making their WrestleMania debut against John Cena, same thing with Bray Wyatt, it doesn't matter if he loses. That's enough. It's like wrestling The Undertaker, which we'll get to. That's almost enough. You know, you're already put over. You're already over, brother.
Well, here's the big question about this match. Will we see Lana, and what will she be wearing?
I'm thinking she's going to be wearing a pants. Pencil skirt and a jacket.
I'm getting a little verklempt over there.
Lana right now is shooting a movie with Edge Adam Copeland, right? So she hasn't been on Raw last couple weeks. And the only thing fans have been able to chant the last couple weeks when John Cena and Rusev are doing their thing is, we want Lana, we want Lana, right? I mean, I think it's a bigger movement than give Divas a chance. We want Lana. And if she comes out, there might be potential for her to maybe not betray but kind of turn on Rusev. Maybe after the match, Rusev gets in her face after he loses, and she just slaps the holy hell out of him, takes her bun out, lets her hair down, and says "Murica" with her fist in the air.
Or maybe he goes at her, and Cena comes in for the save, and she walks out with Cena.
Wonder how Nikki Bella would feel about that.
Well,
John Cena actually may be the luckiest man in the world. If he's got Nikki Bella backstage and Lana taking it back there. If Lana's a face, she's the biggest. She will be the most popular diva of all time.
But she has to keep the accent.
Kofi Kingston didn't keep the accent.
But she has to keep the accent.
Why?
You know, because it's sexy. That's
you know
why.
She doesn't have an accent, right?
She does on television.
She does on television.
It's real to me.
Have you ever seen her acting real?
No.
Look it up on YouTube.
Is it good?
It's not bad. There's a reason she's in that WWE movie.
Man, you are a perv. Looking at her acting reel?
I'm looking at her acting reel.
Are you?
I know all things Lana, a.k.a. CJ Perry.
You are listening to a simulcast.
Yes. Early for me.
Well, early for you, not early for me.
Yeah,
I'm already 5 hours into my day by this time.
Yeah, so. I'm like 5 minutes, however long this podcast is.
Yeah.
I'm a little tired, but this is a simulcast.
First time ever.
It's the first major simulcast since Vince McMahon appeared on Monday Nitro and Monday Night Raw at the same time.
It is, and I have to say this may draw similar numbers to Pacquiao Mayweather.
May outdraw the Invasion pay per view.
It may. It will definitely outdraw WCW Greed. There's no doubt about that. TP the Topolsky Podcast, and of course
the Brad Gilmore Show on demand.
As we turn our attention to. This is what WrestleMania is all about, right here.
How far are we into this podcast, real quick? What's our time running right now? I just want to know.
We're more than 30 minutes in.
More than 30? Really, it's going by like that. Yeah. I'm sorry, I just want to know.
Well, you're a long talker.
I am a long talker.
But that's okay. Your listeners are used to it. Mine, they'll just turn off. So, this is what it's all about right here, my friend. We talked about this guy earlier, Bray Wyatt. Now an opportunity at immortality as he has called out the dead man. And The Undertaker has answered the call. What do you think about this?
Well, you know, WrestleMania 30, right? We're all 100% certain that we're going in, we're going to see Brock Lesnar lose to The Undertaker at WrestleMania. Most shocking moment in WrestleMania history. That third F5, the three count. I mean, they get the guy, you know, in the crowd's eyes popping out of his head. Paul Heyman selling it like $1 million.
Yeah.
You know what? I wonder if Paul Heyman knew.
God.
Did he know?
I gotta tell you what, if he did know, that acting was incredible.
Yeah,
because he's just there, hands on his face, screaming, "Oh my God, you did it! You did it!"
And what was crazy is
it was fantastic.
Nobody in the crowd was making a sound.
I know.
It was dead silent. Mm-hmm. Everyone was. I was waiting. My head was going a million miles a minute. I'm like, okay. Hogan's going to come out. He's going to say, it's not going down like that, brother.
Yeah.
I don't know what his excuse was. Brock Lesnar's on PEDs, brother. Yeah. Or something. I don't know what he was going to say. But I did not expect that to happen.
It was like when the day after that happened, WWE had posted this article talking about the the day that Bruno Sammartino finally lost the heavyweight championship, and how the arena was so hushed in just shocked silence that you could hear the cars passing on the street outside the building. It was kind of like that. And then what really made the hair stand on your arm was when they showed the 21-1 graphic and everyone in the arena gasped. You know,
like that.
And there were screams and shrieks, and it was like, man, this is incredible stuff right here.
I believe it was Heyman who said Brock Lesnar thought he went deaf momentarily whenever, because no one was making a sound.
He couldn't hear anything.
He was like, you know, it was most incredible. So now we not expect to see the dead man. Like, we saw him walk out of WrestleMania, right? The saddest moment in wrestling history was him walking down that ramp,
right,
looking back at the crowd. And you knew he had that concussion. He didn't know where he was when you look at it retrospectively. It was probably the worst. It's probably like one of the saddest moments in wrestling history. And we never thought we'd see him again. And we still haven't seen him. But we will see him at WrestleMania. And he's going against the new face of fear, Bray Wyatt, a man who you said a year ago would be a perfect opponent for The Undertaker.
I did. This could make Bray Wyatt. I don't think Bray Wyatt needs it now, however. But I will tell you something. Getting this match with The Undertaker will make him, it doesn't matter, in my opinion, whether he wins or he loses. I do think it would actually help Bray Wyatt more if he lost. Imagine a scenario in which The Undertaker defeats Bray Wyatt and sends Bray Wyatt to hell. Sends Bray Wyatt to the other side. We don't see Bray Wyatt for a few months, and Bray Wyatt returns an even more pivotal character on the roster. Returns even more multi-layered than before, talking about the things I've seen and the places that I've been. The Undertaker took my soul, and I came back, and this is the Bray Wyatt I am now. More devastating, more dangerous, more evil, more demonic than he ever was before. Could be the last dimension that he needs to make him a main event superstar.
I think he's on his way of being a main event superstar, and Bray Wyatt, We've said it when he came. This is the new coming of The Undertaker. This is going to be the guy who's going to carry that style of gimmick.
Yeah.
For the next maybe 20 years, maybe he'll have a streak, you know, at WrestleMania. You know, he's already lost one. I mean, I don't think The Undertaker's going to win at WrestleMania, which is I know, like, I'm probably going against the Vegas odds on this one.
You are.
I'm probably going against what everyone thinks, but I'm thinking Bray Wyatt wins at WrestleMania 31, right? And The Undertaker loses because The Undertaker had the streak, right? The longest winning streak of all time. You know, all you had to do if you were a wrestling fan is say the streak and everyone knew what you were talking about.
Mm-hmm.
How amazing would it be for Undertaker to go from one streak to another, from a winning streak to a losing streak for the next night on Raw? As Sting is in the ring celebrating his victory against Triple H and the Authority at WrestleMania, The Undertaker comes out. He wants to see if he can get one more and break his losing streak and go out on top. And he wants to do it against Sting at WrestleMania 32 in his home state of Dallas. I mean, home state of Texas, in Dallas, Texas. Can you picture 100,000 people, TP?
Man, that'd be something. Or you could have The Undertaker making his announcement that it's time for him to go away. And Sting comes out, spotlight, baseball bat.
Just does the point.
One more time. You know?
Either way, it'd be incredible.
Either way, this is going to be. And the theatrics surrounding this match.
Oh, they're
gonna be absolutely spectacular.
I wonder
is what WrestleMania is all about.
I wonder what Undertaker's like entrance is gonna be though, because you remember when he got buried alive by Vince at Survivor Series 2003, and he came back WrestleMania 20 to fight Kane, at WrestleMania 20, WrestleMania 20. I mean, we hadn't seen him at all, and then he came out the Druids, you know, and then all of a sudden you heard, oh yes, you know, yeah. and you're so good. I got chills watching that. And Kane's like rubbing his eyes because he can't believe it. I wonder what his entrance is going to be this year.
Well, you know, there is speculation that it would be another Johnny Cash-esque type deal with
the man comes around
and whatnot. I've been watching, trying to watch every WrestleMania before Sunday.
Good luck.
Well, I mean, I'm about halfway through already. I've been binge watching since last weekend.
You're up to 15?
Well, I'm not watching them in order.
Okay.
You know, I'm just watching the ones I want to watch first, and then I get to the other ones from time to time. But I did watch The Undertaker's debut at WrestleMania 7 against Jimmy Superfly Snuka.
WrestleMania 7.
Yeah.
Back. Here we
WrestleMania
go.
WrestleMania 7. And I would love to see Taker come out to his original theme song.
He does just come out to it.
No, I'm talking old school. I'm talking
the,
real old school.
Like the real like, high-pitched
one. Throwing it back to like the beginning. Yeah, throwing it back to the beginning. It's like, you know what? This is it. This is the final walk. But we shall see, man. That what an atmosphere it's going to be for those two.
It's going to be
unbelievable.
I'm so excited.
I don't understand how – because there are people out there that are not excited for Bray Wyatt and Undertaker. I don't understand it.
I know. I don't
think they
–
I just don't think that you can appreciate sports entertainment if you don't appreciate this matchup. This is a gift right here.
Yeah, this is something we didn't think we were going to get. We didn't think we'd get Undertaker again. And now we're going to get – but here's the thing. It has to be the passing of the torch. It's got to be. It's got if Bray Wyatt's the new face of fear, Undertaker has to give him the torch and say, "Here's the ball. Run with it for the next 20 years, brother." You know what I mean? He's got to. Bray Wyatt's the new face of fear, so he's going to come and lose. Now this might be my boldest prediction, but Bray Wyatt is going to win at WrestleMania. If I know nothing else.
Well, I just can't picture the Undertaker going down to Sister Abigail. We'll see.
Maybe he goes down to Tombstone.
Maybe he goes down to a Tombstone.
Bray Wyatt's new finish, Tombstone Piledriver.
We will see. Well, finally, we're on familiar ground here. We disagree on something.
So, yeah, there we go.
I feel much more comfortable. Moving right along to a match that may steal the show. The show stealers in it, in addition to some other stars as well. Daniel Bryan, Dean Ambrose, Dolph Ziggler, Bad News Barrett, R-Truth, Stardust, and Luke Harper.
Interesting and eclectic group of people.
It is indeed. The Intercontinental Ladder Match. Your thoughts on this?
Well, we know the history of ladder matches at WrestleMania. WrestleMania 10, Shawn and Razor. All the way up to WrestleMania 16, WrestleMania 2000. The triangle ladder match between the first ever triangle ladder match between Edge, Christian, the Dudleys, and the Hardys for the tag team championships. You know, it's interesting. I got, you know, the ladder match... WrestleMania 10, show stealer. WrestleMania 16, show stealer. Some say WrestleMania 17, show stealer. The Money in the Bank matches that happened from WrestleMania 21 up until 26, I believe. They've always been incredible. I've always loved watching ladder matches at WrestleMania. They're always show stealers. And, you know, on upcoming, this Saturday, on Heated Conversations, 4 p.m.
Cheap plug.
Booker T, along with me, I play his sidekick. I am Kato on Heated Conversations. And we actually have Christian, WWE superstar Christian, on the line. And I asked him, like, what was it like stealing the show at WrestleMania? And, you know, and he goes to describe it. I don't want to give away his answer. You got to tune into the show for that.
Yes.
But, you know, we did talk about the ladder matches. And he said he's excited for this one. I mean, this could potentially be the match of the night. Daniel Bryan has now gone on record and says he plans for 75,000 people for the second year in a row to be chanting yes after this match is over. And I believe it might be this might happen. This might be the match. Daniel Bryan will climb the ladder. He's going to be the new Intercontinental Champion, and that will be the final title he has to win. And now he has won every championship in WWE, and he's going to bring prominence back to the Intercontinental Championship the same way John Cena will bring prominence back to the United States Championship, and it'll lead to a SummerSlam rematch from 2 years ago where they will unify the titles because we don't need to.
Well, I got to tell you.
Secondary titles.
Well, and it's the thing is you say secondary titles, but I really feel like, in a way, WWE has kind of already elevated these championships to – think about it like boxing. I'm a huge boxing fan, as you know. And, you know, typically, not always – is the heavyweight champion in the WBC or the WBF or wherever the case may be, the biggest star and the best fighter in the sport. Sometimes it's, you know, the lightweight champion. Sometimes it's a featherweight. Sometimes it's a middleweight. Sometimes it's a welterweight. And now we've got somebody who, let's say Daniel Bryan walks out of WrestleMania on Sunday carrying around the Intercontinental Championship. He can say, I'm the Intercontinental Champion. I'm the best wrestler.
Yeah.
In the world. I'm the best wrestler in the world. And that might be enough. So I agree with you. I think Daniel Bryan walks out with the Intercontinental Championship for a number of reasons. Number one, He lost clean to Ziggler on the go-home show at Raw. And there's got to be a payoff at some point. Otherwise, I think Daniel Bryan continues to move down the rung. Secondly, it's not fathomable for me to think that he could go from beating Triple H and beating Batista and Randy Orton in the main event of WrestleMania last year and winning the championship to losing an Intercontinental Championship ladder match. I just don't see that happening. So, for purposes of continuity, I think Daniel Bryan's the man.
I want to check on something as we're talking about this, because right when you were talking, I started thinking about Daniel Bryan, and I started thinking about his path that he's taken from WrestleMania 30 to WrestleMania 31. And I just want to fact check something as I'm talking about this, because it's actually a little eerie if I'm correct. And if I'm not correct, I'm not even going to bring it up. Okay. I am correct. WrestleMania 30, Daniel Bryan wins the World Heavyweight Championship in the main event in a triple threat match. The following year, he is now in a multi-man ladder match at WrestleMania 31. Same exact thing happened to Chris Benoit. Won the World Heavyweight Championship in a triple threat match in the main event of WrestleMania 20, and the next year was in a multi-man ladder match in WrestleMania 21. And there's been comparisons to the ring work of Daniel Bryan and Chris Benoit before, and it's interesting because Chris Benoit at one time was the biggest star in the company.
He was.
The fans were behind him. When that music hit, it went crazy. And then he gradually went down the ladder. So is the same, and no pun intended, he gradually went down the ladder. I mean, is the same thing going to happen to Daniel Bryan? I mean, it's a similar trajectory.
It remains to be seen. It is eerie because you're right. You know, and I, growing up, I'm a little bit older than you are.
Yes.
I was a big fan of the work of the Dynamite Kid.
Yeah.
And then I saw Chris Benoit come along, and I was like, man, this is like Dynamite all over again.
Yeah.
And then you see Daniel Bryan, and he's got so many. I mean, Daniel Bryan is he's very, very talented, a multitude of different styles that he brings to the table, but there is a lot of Chris Benoit in there. So.
But it's just weird, their trajectory of, like, yeah. The whole rise of them and then the fall, like within 10-year gaps.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like a same, similar
yeah.
kind of thing. I mean,
well,
it's,
history has a way of repeating itself.
I think it's
even in a predetermined sport. So.
It's just interesting. It was something I just realized and it clicked in my head as we were talking. It's kind of just interesting.
Speaking of history, history will definitely be made with this match. My goodness. The King of Kings, Triple H, versus Sting. Needs no introduction. Sting.
Sting. The icon. The Vigilante. What do you think of the name The Vigilante? Like, honestly, do you like it?
Yeah.
It's just kind of okay, right?
I mean, again, these are decisions that are made above my pay grade.
Yeah.
So there could be a reason for it. I know that Sting needs to be introduced to a new audience, in a sense, because believe it or not, there are kids walking around that never saw Sting in WCW.
There are kids who are in the audience at WWE shows.
Who were born after WCW went out of business.
Yes.
Yes. Which is crazy for me to think,
yeah.
considering I was born in 1984.
Hey, I was born 1992, so it's interesting for me to think as well.
God, man.
What?
Shit. You're making me feel old. this match right here is going to... first of all, it's going to reek of nostalgia. Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, this is going to be just incredible. First of all, we get to see Sting for the first time ever compete in a WWE ring. It's been 14 years since we've seen him on a product that we could watch. And so it's going to be incredible.
He did spend a generous amount of time in TNA.
Also, who?
So not as Impact Wrestling. You know, I went to Mick Foley's comedy show when he was here in Houston at the Improv. And to ask him a question, he would first ask you a trivia question about his career, and if you answered it correctly, you could ask him a question.
Yeah.
And so he said, "What kind of match did he and The Rock have on Halftime Heat for the WWE Championship?" And obviously, the answer is the Empty Arena match.
Empty
so
arena.
The fan goes, "Empty Arena match," and Mick Foley goes, "Wrong. It's called a TNA house show." But anyway, that being said, I'm really excited to see Sting, the icon Sting.
The icon Sting.
One of the biggest stars in professional wrestling history. I mean, we're talking in history. Sting was the man. You mentioned it yesterday in the lost episode, the lost simulcast.
The lost simulcast, yes.
He was on the cover of TV Guide.
He was, man. There was that period between 1996 and the summer of 1998 when professional wrestling was absolutely on fire. I mean, it was so much fun to be a wrestling fan. I can't tell you, because it wasn't just, hey, I'm a wrestling fan already and I'm getting everything I've ever wanted and then some. It's all my friends that weren't wrestling fans are wrestling fans now because they think it's cool. You're walking down the hallways of high school, middle school. There are kids walking around in NWO shirts, Four Horsemen shirts, Sting shirts, Goldberg shirts, Stone Cold shirts, Rock shirts, DX.
Yeah.
And it was like, this is incredible. And every single Monday night was a party because, I mean, you're flipping back and forth. I'm recording one. I'm watching the other one. I'm recording the other one. I'm watching the other one. It's just, and it was just must see, can't miss television. And Sting was the nucleus of a lot of that. I mean, he was a focal point for the Monday Night Wars and
most over star in the company.
And he never spoke.
He never wrestled.
You know, but just his presence alone was absolutely incredible. You know, one of the first times that he showed up in the rafters, the spotlight's on him, and then the next thing you know, the lights go out, they come back on, and there's a vulture on the ring, you know?
Oh, yeah.
It's like this, there's just some supernatural stuff going on here.
It was awesome. What do you think, though, about the build-up to this match? A lot of people have said some things that they didn't like the video packages, and then that weird video package where Sting was kind of talking, but he wasn't.
Yeah.
What have you thought about the build so far?
Well, I mean, I'm old school about a lot of this stuff. So, you know, I want to see guys face-to-face week in and week out. I want to see a real kind of tease, but we don't get that anymore. And I understand it. We live in a different era, and also we're dealing with stars that are at a point in their life where they don't have to be there every week.
Yeah.
So you're going to, you know, in the words of Brock Lesnar, pay them full-time to do part-time work. So with that being said, I'm okay with the build-up. I really am okay with it. The video package was a little bizarre,
having the voice
change like that. But again, you got to think about this. They're introducing Sting to a new audience of people as well. So it's not just, hey, we got to pull in my demographic, which are people that are in their late 20s, early 30s. We've got to make sure that the parents of the 6 and 7 year olds are buying into this too, which is maybe the reason why they're calling him the Vigilante, you know?
I mean, maybe I did like how he opened Monday Night Raw, though. And, you know, he came out and he spoke on television.
Yeah.
Because Sting at WCW, not so much. But if you watch TNA, him through the TNA years, he was actually kind of entertaining on the microphone. Like, he was actually a pretty good promo. So, at first, I was kind of happy they weren't letting him talk because I was like, this is like the mystique of Sting. But then when he kind of came out Monday Night Raw, I'm like, Sting's kind of cool. Like, I like Sting. Like, yeah. I'm a fan of Sting. Like,
well, see, and thing is that I grew up watching Bleach Blonde Sting before we had
Surfer Cut.
Before we had this Sting. So, I mean, and that Sting cut a lot of promos. I mean, that was Sting that for a short period of time, and God, I'm going way back, but I mean, early 90s, for a short period of time, he was a member of the Four Horsemen before he got his ass kicked by all of them. And there were some great promos there, and the work that that he did on the mic and Flair did on the mic together, you know, and the buildup that they had in certain matches. So Sting can talk.
Yeah.
Sting can cut a promo. There's no doubt about it. Sting can talk people into the building. This is the evolution of him as a performer, and it's come full circle now. And if this is to be his one and only match in WWE, and I don't know whether that'll be the case or not, what a send-off this will be against a guy who, quite frankly, you can't have a bad match with. Triple H is such a ring general, he could literally have a WrestleMania match with a crash test dummy, and it would be entertaining.
I mean, like, you know, WrestleMania 30, he and Daniel Bryan were the opening match, and arguably the best match on the entire card last year. I mean, wrestling match.
Yeah.
Triple H is a wrestler, you know, and he's a good wrestler.
Yeah.
And he's a great wrestler. He you know, in the early 2000s, he might have been the best wrestler in the world.
And because of the influences behind him, Ric Flair, Harley Race, that's
trained by Killer Kowalski.
Yeah, I mean, that's the tutelage.
Yeah.
That
riding up and down the road with Shawn Michaels.
Yeah.
You know.
So I don't understand people that I mean, I guess a lot of it just has to come from the fact that, you know, he's running a lot now, and
yeah.
You know, that's where I guess the hate comes from. But He's a great performer.
What I'm interested in is I read this thing about NBC Universal and WWE have made this TV deal. Now the famous TV deal where the stock plummeted afterward, even though they, you know, doubled their money or whatever it was. But you know, they want to do more crossover stuff with each other and work more with each other. And one of the things they're going to do is for upcoming Universal Picture movies, they want to kind of intertwine some of that within the entrances to both Sting and Triple H. So they're working on a Crow remake. So there's actually been a casting call out for scarecrows and crow-like figures for Sting's entrance at WrestleMania, which is going to be awesome. And then also Triple H's entrance is going to be Terminator-themed because of the Terminator Genesis movie coming out. And Triple H's entrances at WrestleMania have always been awesome. And he and Arnold Schwarzenegger are like buddies now.
Yeah.
So it kind of makes sense. But I'm excited for this, man.
I can't wait.
A Terminator-style entrance?
I can't wait.
That sounds amazing. My only question is, WrestleMania this year is on the West Coast. So it's actually going to end. WrestleMania is going to end at 8 p.m. in the West Coast. How much of it's going to be in broad daylight?
That's a good question.
How would Sting and Undertaker's entrances look in broad daylight?
I hadn't thought of that. I don't know.
Might be something that changes the mood. And then when everything's outside and it's bright outside, are you going to have that same drama?
Well, I mean, let's think about it. We do have daylight savings time. So yeah, it will be lighter. I don't know. Fortunately, I would believe they go on second to last. But then again, you might stick that Divas match between that and the main event.
Yeah.
You know, because you have Sting and Triple H, and people need time to breathe.
Yeah.
You know? So
what are you going to do? Are you going to go, this might be the thing we need. Okay, at the end of this podcast, we need to go with how we would place the matches for WrestleMania.
Okay.
At the end, we'll do that after we talk about everything.
Okay. No, I'm only letting you do that since we're both hosting as opposed to. who do you got, by the way? I haven't even asked you that.
Oh, Sting. You can't wait 14 years for this guy to make his debut.
Oh, come on, Gilmore. He's going to have ring rust.
Hey, Sting's look great on Raw, you know, in the physical acts he's had. I want him to wet his hair, though, really bad.
You want him to wet his hair?
Yeah, when he comes out or dye it. Or make
Here's
it
the one thing that's disappointed me about all this is I don't like Sting's new theme song. I want the old theme song.
A lot of
song.
People have said that.
And
I don't
It would be sick as hell if he came out and they had the orchestra like they had on the video game commercial.
Oh, yeah.
Had just this big-ass orchestra and, like, you know, kind of for who the bell tolls type, you know, feeling. And, you know, here comes Sting. Like, oh, man.
That would actually be really cool.
That would be pretty sick.
That would be really cool. I hadn't thought about that. But, yeah. I like his new WWE theme. I mean, WWE needs to put their little on it. You know, that's their little – they need it.
Yeah, the original's better, though.
The original is good. But, you know, they changed Goldberg's theme up a little bit when he went – it was, like, slightly different.
It was Goldberg's theme.
Yeah, it was a Goldberg's theme. Yeah. They even changed Booker's theme a tad. They added Can You Dig It, Sucker.
They did.
They got to put their own little flavor on
but that was But it was a nice touch, though.
Oh, yeah, added. Yeah. It added to Booker's theme.
We have arrived.
Sting, though, will win that match.
We have arrived,
Do you
man.
Agree?
What?
Sting's going to win the match? You didn't say your prediction.
No, Sting's going to win. Sting's going to win. No,
Hands down, right?
Come on, Sting's going to win. Triple H doesn't need to win this match. Triple H is Triple H, John Cena is John Cena. So.
Just like Hulk Hogan. He doesn't need to win another match ever.
No.
He'll be fine.
He really doesn't. But Sting,
he won the best wrestling match of all.
Here's a question for you. I know
he's the COO.
Precisely. We talked about this earlier about Undertaker and Sting next year at WrestleMania. Do you really think that Sting will have one more match after this?
Yeah, it doesn't feel like his last match. It feels like his first match. And what I mean by that is,
so you think we could see him again before next year's WrestleMania even?
I think Sting might wrestle up to four times in WWE.
Okay.
As much as four times. There might even be a rematch at the next pay-per-view between him and Triple H. Who knows? But I definitely see it happening at WrestleMania 32, provided they're both in good health. We're going to see Sting and Undertaker finally, and it'll be their last match for both of them.
That would be incredible. Let us know what you think about the card upcoming this Sunday. Tweet at us at Brad Gilmore on Twitter.
At Brad Gilmore.
And at Matt Topolsky on Twitter as well.
Well, it's interesting, though. Before we get to the main event, I did read, though, about WrestleMania 32 is WWE an insider at WWE has claimed that for WrestleMania 32, all legends who are still able to work and have the ability to have a wrestling match might be called in for this show.
Man, they're going all out.
100,000 people, TP.
Man, Dallas, short trip away from here, my friend.
Oh, we're going. We are going.
You know what I mean?
We're going. We might have to put in the call to the boss. Hey, you can get us a couple tickets to WrestleMania.
Yeah. I just want to get the Iron Sheik on the podcast. So, I mean, and he'll be ready to work.
Oh yeah,
I'm sure.
He worked at WrestleMania 17.
He's always in the gym. He will be ready to humble somebody. That is for sure. We have arrived, my friend, at the moment of truth, the main event of the evening. And 48 hours ago, we all would have said Roman Reigns. Am I right?
Yeah.
But now Brock Lesnar makes an announcement live on SportsCenter that he is retiring from MMA, will never step foot in the octagon again, and has re-signed with WWE. Does this change the landscape?
This changes everything. And the more I read about Lesnar, the more I love the guy, first of all, but the more I'm really thinking that Brock Lesnar will walk out as the WWE World Heavyweight Champion. Let me read this to you.
Okay.
Because he is going to be the biggest babyface in the company, and I'm going to tell you why. Lesnar said he turned down an offer from UFC worth 10 times what he was making earlier in his MMA career. UFC chairman Lorenzo Fertitta also tried to double that deal, but Lesnar told him it wasn't about the money, right? So that being said, everyone thinks that Lesnar is just all about the money.
No, you thought he was all about the money. No. I said he was a legitimate fighter. That's what I said, and he had the fighter's mentality, and he backed up my thoughts by saying he gave it 12 months of thought. He spent 2 months trying to get back into the octagon, and then he was like, listen, my body just can't do this anymore.
Well,
so there you go.
No, I'm just saying people have said about Brock Lesnar that he has just been about the money.
Yeah.
And I'm still subscribing to the theory that I think he's known for months that he's resigning. He probably already resigned for months.
So you think it was all a work?
Yeah, Matt. There's a thing in wrestling. It's called a work, right? Where people...
What?
Yeah, wrestling. Wrestling's predetermined.
What is that?
It's predetermined. Wrestling is predetermined.
I thought sports entertainment was predetermined.
But I think this whole thing, the whole thing about... Because look, we live in the reality era, right? We already brought it up. People are more interested in what's happening backstage than they are of what's happening in front of the camera. But Triple H said it himself on that interview with Stone Cold Steve Austin. The CEO of the company was like, people are more concerned with what's going on in the backstage than we are. You know what I mean? We want to know the contract, the arguments, the disputes. So when you go
up, why not feed the audience a little red meat?
That's exactly. You know, yeah. When you have the Royal Rumble and Roman Reigns gets booed out of the building unceremoniously, you're like, man, well, how are we going to get steam going into this pay-per-view, our main event of the biggest show of our history, mm-hmm. right? Because every year, WrestleMania is the biggest show of all time. And I'm thinking, let's manufacture this wave of speculation that will Brock even show up for WrestleMania? Is he going to re-sign? Is this going to be his last match? What's going to happen? Da-da-da-da. Let's have him show up at UFC, sit next to Dana White, smiling. Then let's go on SportsCenter. And apparently, the people in SportsCenter had no idea what he was going to announce. Everyone there thought he was going to say, I'm going back to the UFC. Everybody in that room thought. And I heard that if SportsCenter didn't think he was going to make that announcement that he's going back to UFC, they wouldn't have let him on to talk about WWE. That's what insiders at ESPN have reported. That's what the rumor is, right? So, I mean, it was a masterful work by Vince McMahon and Brock Lesnar to lead up into this hype of WrestleMania. Now he's going to receive a hero's welcome. He's going to receive a hero's welcome coming into WrestleMania because all the fans are going to be like, he's sticking with us. And he signed a 3-year deal, and he's going to be the WWE champion for the next 3 years.
So how do you take the title off?
For the next 3 years.
How do you take the title off a guy like that then?
You said it yesterday. He's got to want to give it up. No, you take the title off him. You got to build somebody.
What I'm saying is, in what scenario can you see Roman Reigns walking out with the WWE Championship after that? I mean, or is this just the ultimate sleight of hand? Is this the folks behind the curtain saying, listen, we know that most of our fans believe it's a foregone conclusion that Roman Reigns will win the WWE Championship because we've been building him for a year. So what we're going to do is create enough doubt that because Lesnar has re-signed, there's no way that he will lose the title. Therefore, Now there's speculation up in the air again, and there's real interest in this main event.
I've never thought about it that way, and that's interesting. But let me ask you this. Would it have been better if they waited to the Monday after WrestleMania to announce the Lesnar's resign? Do you think this has taken even more steam away from the match and less speculation? If we thought that was all going to be Lesnar's last match in WWE, then we might get behind Reigns. Like, you know what? Win this for us. Win this one for
Precisely.
Us, Reigns.
But here's the thing. At the end of the day, the speculation is what's printing the money. The speculation is what drives the market.
Yeah.
Just like on the stock market, man.
Yeah.
Speculation drives everything. Speculation drives eyeballs and earlobes to the product. Mm-hmm. So people are going to tune in on Sunday, and even for a month with no commitment, they're going to buy the WWE Network.
Yeah.
And they're going to do it so that they can see this.
Well, you know, it's funny because a lot of people have said, you know, WrestleMania, the card sucks this year. I don't want to watch WrestleMania this year. And, like, if you're a fan of wrestling, you're going to watch WrestleMania, you
right.
idiot. Jim Ross said it best. He was like, he goes, if you're, you know, it's like for me, I'll adapt his metaphor to me. I'm a big Texans fan, Houston Texans fan, right? And if Houston Texans fan, they're my team. If they made it to the Super Bowl, I would be like, holy hell, this is going to be the greatest Super Bowl of all time, right?
Yeah.
But if my favorite team doesn't make it to the Super Bowl, guess what? I'm still watching the Super Bowl no matter what, even if my favorite guy
it's the spectacle.
Isn't in it. You know what I mean?
You know?
So Roman Reigns might not be my favorite guy, but I'm still watching WrestleMania to see what's going to happen in this match, you know? And
well, let's play devil's advocate for a second. If not Roman Reigns in this main event, then who? Who would have drawn better in this main event against Brock Lesnar?
In this particular match?
In like this WrestleMania, yes.
Well, I mean, the obvious answer would be Daniel Bryan. You don't agree?
No disrespect meant at all to Daniel Bryan. But Daniel Bryan looks like he could be eaten alive by Brock Lesnar.
Yeah, the ultimate David
Daniel
Goliath.
Bryan looks like he would be a child of Brock Lesnar. I mean, I'm just being perfectly honest. You're building this guy as a legitimate badass. I think anybody can make the argument intelligently right now that Brock Lesnar is the most dominant champion in the history of WWE. Now, I know
Hands
that
down.
You know, you can say, well, Bruno carried the belt for 14 or 15 years or whatever the case may be. If Bruno Sammartino and Brock Lesnar had a real fight, Brock Lesnar wins.
Yeah, hands down.
Who in the history of WWE has walked through that curtain? And you can say, honestly, they would have a real shot in beating Brock Lesnar in a fight.
I don't know anybody. I really don't know anybody.
So are you telling me that Daniel Bryan would have a shot at defeating Brock Lesnar in a match? When John Cena, the guy who's been the flag bearer for over 10 years and who is a monster in himself, was beaten to holy hell and back.
Matt,
not once, but twice.
Matt, wrestling's predetermined. Anything can happen. David Arquette was the WCW champion.
And WCW went out of business.
But my point is like they can convince you within a match, those two masterful athletes, Daniel Bryan being a great wrestler, Brock Lesnar being a legitimate badass fighter, they can convince you that Daniel Bryan could win. Brock Lesnar doesn't care if he wins or loses.
But we sat here for a year, or we sat here for an hour, and we talked about, feels like a year. I'm just kidding. We've sat here for an hour and we've talked about the reality era.
Yeah.
Like there's I'm sorry, but there's nothing realistic about Daniel Bryan defeating Brock Lesnar for the WWE championship.
Well, you want me to tell you let me see this.
Okay.
If Brock Lesnar, or let's say when Brock Lesnar retains his championship, right? You gotta think, who's left? Right? Who's left for him to destroy? Right? He's destroyed The Undertaker. Triple H broke Shawn Michaels' arm twice or something like that. John Cena, Seth Rollins, now Roman Reigns, The Big Show, Mark Henry. He's gone through all these guys, right? He comes out. He's happy. You know, this is the only way he can go heel. He comes out. Heyman and him are just laughing the next time on Raw. They've won. You know, they've beaten everybody there is to beat. And Heyman says, you know what? We're going to go home now. And Vince, call us when you have somebody, right? Because until then, there's no competition in WWE. There's nothing here.
Mm-hmm.
Brock actually might now, even though he's re-signed, he might spend the summer merging the UFC and WWE Heavyweight Championship. Who knows? You know, we'll call you. We'll see you later, right? And then If you smell the Rock, Rock comes out. They set it up. Rock, Brock 2, WrestleMania 32, main event for the WWE Championship. Can you picture 100,000 people, Matt Topolsky? And the only reason I say The Rock is because he's hosting Saturday Night Live this Saturday, and they asked him, what are you doing on Sunday? And he just smiled, big smile. I don't know.
Brock Lesnar versus The Rock.
Two.
But come on. These are different. They're different stars. They're different athletes now. They're different characters than
yeah,
they
the
were
Rock
the last time they
is
met.
More jacked and more famous.
That would be the biggest WrestleMania main event of all time. No?
Yeah. It's the biggest thing they could do. Yeah. Imagine the main events. Imagine this, the main events of WrestleMania 32 in Dallas being Undertaker versus Sting in a retirement match for both men. And The Rock versus Brock 2 for the WWE Championship. And then who else are you going to do? What about John Cena versus Stone Cold Steve Austin?
Oh, my God. I don't think we'll ever see Stone Cold lace up the boots again, but that would be pretty awesome. What about Hogan versus Iron Sheik?
It could happen.
One last time.
But I'm saying, like, just with those two matches, though, Sting, Undertaker, Rock, Brock 2, WrestleMania 32, those two matches, I believe, could pack over 93,173 people in that building.
Yeah.
Easy.
We got to be there for it.
I don't care if I'm in the nosebleeds. I want to see this. I want to see this go down.
Oh, man, I'm going to be there. I'm going to be right up against the rail next to Brock Lesnar guy.
Oh, yeah, next to Brock Lesnar guy?
Absolutely.
So do you see, though, could Roman Reigns end up winning by Paul Heyman turning on Brock Lesnar or something like that?
He wouldn't hurt Roman Reigns to have Paul Heyman as his mouthpiece.
Not at all, yeah.
So, I can see that scenario, especially when you already have Brock Lesnar trending in the direction of being a face.
Mm-hmm.
It's universally known that Brock Lesnar doesn't cut the best live promos in the world, but his studio promos are very
incredible.
Entertaining. So you could have him continue to speak in that format. So I could see that as a definite possibility.
Let me ask you this, though.
Yes.
Roman Reigns, a lot of negative feedback for him, right? A lot of people don't know if this is the guy. We've been told that this is going to be the future. Is he the future? And I say this because I mentioned earlier a man by the name of Lex Luger. We thought Lex Luger, they were pushing Lex Luger to be the next Hulk Hogan. He was going to be the face of WWE, but he just didn't connect with the audience.
Mm-hmm.
Is Roman Reigns Lex Luger? Or is the Roman Reigns John Cena? Or is it too early to tell?
I think it's too early to tell. An interesting comparison.
Because right now I feel like he's more Lex Luger than he is John Cena.
It's an interesting comparison. I think,
and I'm a Roman Reigns fan.
I think Roman Reigns is up for it. I don't think that Lex Luger was up for it in the way that Roman Reigns is up for it. Roman Reigns is all in. I mean, there are people that are out there saying Roman Reigns isn't ready, and a lot of those people have never stepped foot in a ring in their life.
Yeah.
But that's okay. That's the audience. Those are fans, and they have a right to their opinion. I think Roman Reigns has taken it on the chin about a lot of unnecessary stuff, and he's got the look. He can work.
Yeah.
Okay. Maybe he doesn't know 10,000 wrist holds, but neither did Hulk Hogan. And he would be the first face that goes in the Mount Rushmore of wrestling. So, I mean, I think time will tell with Roman Reigns. I think Roman Reigns deserves to be in the main event of WrestleMania. And I think he and Brock Lesnar are going to beat the hell out of each other, and it's going to be very entertaining. I really don't know how to predict this thing after the news of Lesnar resigning. I don't know.
You know, a lot of people, some people I saw on Twitter were actually freaking out because who would have thought that the words resign and resign are very close to one
Precisely.
Another?
Precisely. And I had the same thing because I had put it on my Facebook, and then people were like, you know, resigned, question mark, or re- hyphen sign, you know, and I'm like, oh, shit. Yeah.
Okay. I didn't know either.
But no, resign.
So here we are, Matt Topolsky. We've gone through the card. You're going Brock or you're going Reigns?
Well, if I have to make a choice, I am going to go with Roman Reigns. But who I would like to see? Brock Lesnar. If it were up to me, Brock Lesnar would be champion for life.
Forever?
For as long as he wanted to be with the company. Yes.
Yeah, I'm going
that's
with Brock,
what a,
too.
That's what a heavyweight champion should look
what
like.
What are the betting odds for this match?
Well, my friend, that
what do
is
you got?
A good question.
What's going on here?
Roman Reigns is the favorite, but just slightly, and the line continues to move. So,
this news,
you know,
this news about the whole re-signing is changing people's idea.
We talked about this in the Lost episode as well. How do you feel about
hashtag blame Matt Topolsky?
Hashtag blame Matt. so many places you could go with that. How do you feel about the Roman numeral being dropped?
You know, we talked about that. Because this was my thing that I talked about was WrestleMania. You know, you don't say, "Hey, you remember that WrestleMania in New York?" You're like, "Well, which one? WrestleMania 1, WrestleMania 10, 20,
yeah.
29? You know, which one?" And, you know, you know it by the number. You say WrestleMania, "Oh yeah, WrestleMania 29. Yeah, Rock versus Cena for the title." Yeah, WrestleMania 10, you know, the ladder match between Shawn and Brett. I mean, Shawn and Razor, you know. Those are the times you remember. You remember them by the number. You don't remember them by the place or, you know. So I'm not going to say, "Oh, yeah, I remember, you know, 10 years from now. Remember WrestleMania?" And
play button?
The play button.
Yeah.
Remember the one with the play button? And I think it was in San Francisco or Santa Clara or San Diego, something like that, you know.
Yeah.
No, you got to say, remember WrestleMania 31, Brock Lesnar versus Roman Reigns and how dominant Brock, you know. I mean, that's what you're going to remember about WrestleMania. So, yeah. I mean, and then next year it's, you know, WrestleMania Star. You know,
it's already confusing because, first of all, WrestleMania is in San Francisco, but it's not in San Francisco. It's in Santa Clara.
Santa Clara.
And it's WrestleMania 31, but it's not WrestleMania 31. It's WrestleMania branded for Silicon Valley, you know. So it's, I don't know.
It's interesting. I don't like it. I want it to be WrestleMania 31, WrestleMania 32, 33. I mean, last year their whole set was three big X's because
it was
awesome. WrestleMania 30.
Yeah, that was so cool.
And it's
cool.
Like, how do you go from that to being WrestleMania play button? But then again, I did look. I was watching Royal Rumble 2013 last night.
Uh-huh.
Rock versus CM Punk in the main event. And the actual – I saw the WrestleMania sign in the background. WrestleMania 29 didn't say 29. That WrestleMania NYNJ.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, the logos haven't always said what year it is, I guess.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it was called WrestleMania.
But they've said that they're trending in this direction now where they're going to kind of brand
stupid,
it like
though.
This.
But, I mean, they don't do it for Royal Rumble. So, I guess, I mean, it does make sense.
Yeah.
You know, we do say Royal Rumble 2003. I guess we'll just do it by the year from now on. Are we going to say?
No, I'm going to keep calling it what it is.
31,
I mean, this
32,
is 31, 33. Next year's 32. And,
yeah.
You know, beyond. So.
Yeah, I agree.
Man, what a mouthful. What did we miss?
I don't think we're missing anything.
You know?
Let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Because I know we're running over an hour right now, but what do you think the likelihood of Seth Rollins cashing in at the end of the night is?
Jesus, man. I don't know. I mean, I'm, and this is what I like about it is like, and I don't want to read dirt sheets. You know, hopefully no one spoils anything.
Send all spoilers to @MattTopolsky.
Yeah. I just want to sit back and enjoy this as a fan.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not going to be critical or analyze anything. I'm not going to listen to the commentary.
You're not going to analyze anything? We just did it for an hour and a half.
Right, and this is enough. I'm going to Sunday.
The second time.
Sunday, I am going to sit down on my sofa, have a couple of people over the house, and I'm just going to enjoy it for what it is. The greatest sports entertainment spectacular of all time. Thanks to Vince McMahon for bringing it to us, you know.
Yeah, thanks Vince, and thank you for remembering to put your laptop on charge this time.
Hey, man.
I brought
you
a backup
welcome.
Just in case.
You are welcome.
And this has been the first ever, and I think the first of many simulcasts from the Topolsky, TP the Topolsky, I can't even say it.
TP the Topolsky podcast. Not to be confused with that other bullshit podcast.
Tomorrow by, what's his name, Robert Topolsky? James Topolsky.
It doesn't matter.
Mike.
It doesn't matter what his name is, Gilmore.
It doesn't matter what his name is, but anyway, this has been great. Make sure, though, everyone listening, if you've made it this far through the podcast and you're here at the end, make sure you listen to Heated Conversations with Booker T and I. I did say that. Booker T and I Every Saturday on Sports Radio 610 AM. It's our WrestleMania Eve Spectacular. I'm talking more WrestleMania with Booker T, getting his predictions. We're talking to Christian. We're talking to Alex Riley. We're talking Brock Lesnar re-signing. And what advice does Booker T give to Roman Reigns? Very, very interesting stuff going down on Heated Conversations. And make sure you subscribe to the podcast on iTunes and on TuneIn Radio. We're a part of the Play.it network. Go to www.play.it, and you can find out more about Heated Conversations.
And that's not all, because in addition to that, you also have your own podcast.
Yeah, the Brad Gilmore Show on demand. New episodes. You know, I'm trying to pick a new day for episodes, because I was doing Monday, but then like I started doing the Debonair Live on Sunday, so I can't have the weekend to prepare.
I have a feeling it's about to become just a ton of recap shows again.
Yeah.
Here's what I think you should do. I've suggested this before. Get on Twitter, send out a message, and just say, hey, listen, I want people to guest host my podcast.
Yeah.
And after the first four or five replies are Tom, after that, I mean, there's got to be other people out there that want to be a part of this thing. So
there's got to be.
Just a suggestion.
Oh, that's great.
Just a suggestion.
Yeah. I love that. That is funny.
Yeah.
It made me laugh.
Did it?
It made me laugh.
It made me laugh inside.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
Thank you, though.
Yeah.
Thank you for doing this. Guys.
Yeah.
We're gonna be back. Maybe we should do – should we do a monthly simulcast?
Why not?
Do a monthly simulcast.
It takes work off your plate.
It does.
Make sure you check out TP the Topolsky podcast as well, also available on iTunes and Stitcher Radio, and go to matttopolsky.com for a list of upcoming shows and guests and other stuff I'm involved in as well.
BradGilmoreShow.com, by the way. Look out for that, Brad Gilmore Show, Heated Conversations, and the Peaches and Cream podcast coming soon. A lot of stuff going on.
Enjoy WrestleMania, my friend.
You too, man. And for Brad Gilmore, you're Matt Topolsky.
I am.
We'll see y'all next time.
And we're out.
Peace.
Oh, Brian, what have you done now?